Amen. I tell you, we need new touches all the time. You can't live a Christian life if you're not replenished and refreshed often. You can't do it. Care what people say, you can't do it. You got that song they sing, keep going back to the well again. I'm not a songwriter or a singer or anything like that, but I pay attention to them. I'm not a musician, but I love it. I love music. I think piano and violin is the best instrument in the world, and the guitar and a lot of instruments are very good, and we need them. You know, man is a creature that has to be, you know, picked up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There may be a few people in the world wouldn't be well for nothing. They like to complain, but we need to work on it. And see that we're going to have enough lows. Let's get as many highs as we can.
Come on.
Praise God. I like the Pentecost people, the Holiness people. Some people are so narrow-minded, they say, I'm not Pentecost, I'm a Holiness man. And I know what they mean, but they ought to know what we mean.
Yes, sir.
You know, I like an even break. Don't you?
Come on.
I like an even break. Give me a chance, and we'll get along. But if you just put a thumb down on me and squeeze all the time, we ain't going to make it. We're not going to be close. Can't. You think I'm right about that?
Right.
I don't like to be around somebody. I'm not thankful for it. But I'm glad of what Brother Asher said. Informed us about this poor little preacher that thinks everybody's drying up.
Yes, sir.
And then tell him every fault that people have and everything he can find wrong with everybody. You don't need to spend all your time nitpicking. No, you don't. It's not that you don't care and not that you like it that way, but don't dwell on that. Don't dwell on that all the time. If you find, which you probably won't, but if you find $10 in the gutter, don't look in the gutter all the time from now on. You won't find nothing but a bunch of pens and discarded ball points and whatever, a bunch of junk. You probably wouldn't find hardly anything of any value, thousands of pens and hair pens, no telling what. But I don't need them. I don't need no hair pens. My hair, that's plain to see. I don't need it. So you know, just me looking in the gutter, and I didn't find $10 in the gutter. But if you did, so don't go around all the time looking at so-and-so. I don't know where this was at. It's not probably not the same place, but because this guy don't have little bony arms. He's picked up quite a bit, the fellow that I'm talking about. But Brother Asher said he never had seen him putting his little bony arms in the air. You know, you can shrivel so bad, your folks will shrivel with you.
Right.
If you're always talking about something crazy, something, and you know, worrying about everybody else, after a while your people's going to be worrying about everybody else. You can't do that. Doubt, probably not even call.
Yeah.
Probably not even call, preach. I can't decide that totally. But I can give you a little hint.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I hope I can preach to you tonight. Thank you for the invitation. We love Brother and Sister Collins, some of the greatest people in the world. And I didn't get to hear old Vance Havner in person. I've read quite a bit of his stuff. And he was a kind of a old-time Baptist. Old-time Baptist. Somebody was talking about Baptist a while ago. And this eternal security thing they've got going. And they probably wouldn't teach that. If they hadn't been taught to teach that,
right.
Really,
right.
A lot of things you gotta do it, or they'll put you, you know, give you, show you the road.
Yeah.
But let your dad have you, Bob, for a while, brother Oscar, and maybe he'll move up somewhere. They'll find another church somewhere in time. And I'm thankful for the Baptist people that believe you can get saved. I really am. Let's don't get so silly now. We think nobody going to heaven but us. Because that's not right. One guy in Arkansas said there's not but about, it's down around, I better not name it. And somewhere in Arkansas, you know, some little spot. He said there's not but about 15 preachers preaching gospel holiness anyway in the world. He hadn't hardly been out of the county, but he said it's in the world. The whole United States, what it was, and he said 7 or 8 of them is right around here. Oh, man. Come on now. Come out of that tree. You know that there's more people than that. That's kind of a discouraged Elijah syndrome got a hold of you. Yeah. I believe once saved, you ought to stay saved. And you better stay saved. But I don't believe that you will be saved unless you are saved. You can't backslide and go to heaven. And as one man said, you got the front slide first. Yeah, talking about backsliding, you got the front slide first. So remember that. And if a Hottentot in Africa didn't know a thing about the Bible, but he knew some language and he could find out what his language was, and have some Bibles printed in that language and drop them in there by plane, and them get a hold of them and get saved, and begin to worship God, I don't believe they'd teach that. I don't believe they would teach eternal security. I don't believe they would. Yeah. And a lot of other stuff that people teach, they wouldn't teach it. If you let this leave a man alone, they can find all this out for himself. He wouldn't believe that. No, he wouldn't.
No, sir.
And I don't believe it. You ever hear me mention, I read somewhere, I think I got this out of Handful's Own Purpose. Pretty good set of books. And every young preacher ought to have them, read them. Some of the wonderful stuff. And they said this guy had a watch. Got him a watch. Stainless steel. It was rust proof, stain proof. Had an unbreakable crystal. And water couldn't get in it. Had every advantage you could have at that time. And then he said, guess what? He lost it. And some people say, I've got it made. I know where I can be lost. I've got salvation. I can't never. Yes, you can. You can lose it. If you don't stay saved, you're not going to heaven.
That's right.
There are sins that you can commit. Even though you've been saved, you can get so far from God that you can commit sins and sin your way out of the kingdom of heaven. Angels used to be in heaven. And they got thrown out. Put out forever. They won't never, no way they can ever be saved now. It's too late forever. The devil cannot be saved. Fallen angels cannot be saved. And they used to be saved, and Lucifer was one of the main high-ranking, probably archangel. I don't know that, but I think that pretty strong. Whatever position he had, he was around the throne of God. Yeah, he was. What's that, Brother Carl?
Covering cherub.
Yeah, the covering cherub. You can read Ezekiel 14 and Isaiah 14 and other verses and see that. And God said, out! Get out! And he went out. And he won't never get back in. And there's sins you can commit that'll put you out of the kingdom of God. And Paul said you wouldn't inherit God's kingdom if you did them. I'm not taking that for a text. There's a lady one time insinuated to me she believed in eternal security. If you ever been saved, you'd always be saved. And I said, do you think you could dislike somebody? You think a Christian could dislike somebody? You want to watch that. You want to watch that. These people right now don't have the victory because of what somebody else did. And I know it's a trial. I'm not mentally retarded in that area. I know that it's a trial. But you can't let it get you. Amen. The Collins has been married ever since I knew him. And I think I knew him even before. I'm sure I did. You wasn't married when you came to Kellyville at first meeting, were you? And they're some of the greatest people I ever met in my life. And they've been married 41 years. Yeah, in October. This coming October. Now, they lived by people who got a divorce. They lived by people. They've even fellowshipped ministers that went wrong and even backslid and are in second and third marriage now. But they didn't have to do it. I can't let what everybody else does affect me to the extent that I'll get away from God. And I asked this lady, I said, do you think, and I'll get off this in just a minute. I won't stay on this long enough to plow this road clean while I'm at it. I said, do you think anybody could dislike somebody? Do you think a Christian could get cold in her soul? And she said, yes, I believe he could. I said, do you think you get so cold in your soul that you could dislike somebody? She said, I believe you could. I said, do you think you could get to disliking somebody so bad you'd hate them? That a Christian could get to disliking someone so strong that they would hate them? Yes, she said, I believe that could be done. I said, well, John said, whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And we know. Now, I'm going to take the Bible. I ain't going to take some lying Baptist preacher's word for it. I'm going to take the Bible. It said, we know that no murderer, and that, by that he means we have a knowledge, yep, that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Okay. All right. And you can. Now let's get this other while I'm at it. I'll stop on it. Don't worry. I'm not going to make a subject out of this. But you need to be told. In the book of Revelation, and also in the Old Testament, God warns against adding to the Bible. Does he not? He warns, now you better not add to the Bible. You better not. And you better not take anything away from it. If you add to it or take anything away from it, God said concerning the book of Revelation and other places, talked about the rest of the Bible. If you add to, if you twist and distort, change the meaning of the book of Revelation, Jesus said, God would take your name out of the book of life. Now don't tell me it can't be done. And a human can do it. A human can do that, and somebody who's once been saved can do that. Don't say they can't. Don't be silly now. I mean, let's be fair. Okay. So much for those brief remarks on that crazy subject. I'm not going to tell you that the Baptist preachers, some of them are not saved, but I wouldn't tell people that for nothing. No. You take a real chance of going to hell for lying to people to preach that. And I know they say, well, we know, you don't know. No. I read the Bible too. See that? Let me show you something. See these marks in this Bible? See these marks in this Bible? I'm not bragging. I'm showing you something. You see these marks in this Bible? You know what that means? That means I've been there before. That's my prints in there. I don't believe in marking the Bible. I don't care what you don't believe. I mark the Bible. Yeah, I'm gonna run that part of it. We take care of the house at the house. Okay? I read the Bible too. And I know the Bible does not teach it. It'd be wonderful if it did. Lester Moore said that some of the good Baptist folks have got it. You're going to heaven even if you don't want to. Yeah. They're going to make you. You are going. If you ever sign a contract with God and join the church, you'll always be a child of God. Yeah, come on. Okay. Look out. Turn with me to Let's see. Luke, St. Luke. We call him St. Luke. He was a saint just like the rest of us. And great man, great man. Dr. Luke was really all right. I preached out of the book of Luke often when I was courting Doreen. Real often. Yeah, her name was Luke. I preached out of the book of Luke a whole lot when I was courting Doreen. And I still preach out of it a lot, and I really like Dr. Luke. Zacchaeus went out, and he'd heard about the Lord, and he climbed a tree and got up there, and the Lord came. You know the story. It's an old story. I got marks in that, too. And he looked up, Jesus did, in the tree in Zacchaeus 9, Luke 19, and he said, Zacchaeus, you make haste. In other words, come on down now, get down. Come down in a hurry, and for today I must abide at thy house. I'm going to go home with you, and I'm going to eat with you. And they criticized the Lord for eating with publicans and sinners, but that make no difference. His food tasted just as good anyway. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured and said he'd gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. And he did. What's the matter with that? I mean, what is sinful about going home with a sinner? I mean, we're not so holy that... I've been around Indians and Italians and probably some Koreans and Chinese and people out of hugged a man one time from the island, and maybe more than one, and Indians from India, and I'm still just as white as I ever was. I don't, and I've hugged black people and the men. And I don't have no black places on me. And if you go home with a sinner, that don't mean that your sin will get in you. And Jesus went home, the man, they said, the man's a sinner. He murmured. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, to have my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything by false, any man by false accusation, I render him fourfold. I'll pay it back fourfold. Man's bound to have something happen to him act like that. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come. Now I want you to get this. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't think, perhaps I'm not right, but I don't think that I'm wrong in it. I don't think we put enough stress on salvation. I don't think we bear down enough and portray enough of the fact that Jesus came to save that which was lost. And another thing that we've done, at least in some measure, too much of a measure, I think that we have categorized and got our mind cluttered by who can and who cannot be saved. When all the time Jesus says, I came to save that which was lost. That's my mission. I came into the world. Jesus didn't come here to build a home. Jesus didn't come here to raise a family. Jesus didn't come here to be a farmer. He didn't come here to be a businessman. No secular activity. He didn't even come, although he could do it. He didn't even come to be a fisherman. He could have been, easily been, the most notorious fisherman who ever lived. What would it be like for Jesus to went in the fishing business? Having the power he had. Every evening when he come in, he said, there he comes, it's low in the water again. Ain't no telling how many he's got. And they'd have to make him a bigger boat, and he'd load it down. No telling how many people he'd say over on that side tonight and break the nets again. He could predict and show and cause them to move to where he'd load the boat every night. Matter of fact, Jesus could have been such a fisherman, he would have put all the other decent fishermen out of business. But he didn't come to be a fisherman, a fish. Jesus came into the world, and all that he did while he was here in the flesh, in a body, he did it to prepare for an eternal kingdom and get men saved. And his actually, when you squeeze it all down and put it in a nutshell, Jesus came to the world to die for the sins of mankind. Any sin, except blaspheming the Holy Ghost, which would fix you, or where you wouldn't come in anyway. He came to hunt out, and to convert, give an experience to those that are lost. He said in one place, I didn't come. He said, unless you're sick, you don't need a physician. You remember that? It's the sick that need a physician. It's not the well, and it's the lost that need a Savior. I know that the saved need a Savior. I understand that, but he did his main work in them when he saved them. But the sole purpose of the Lord was to die for the sins of the world, that mankind could be saved. And over the country, years, you know, a doctrine, a belief, a teaching, by practice and word, gets into a church. I used to pastor a church. First church I had was Chelsea, Oklahoma. And I'm glad I was there. If I hadn't went there and went through what I did, not that it was the worst place in the world, and they had a belief there. I started to tell you something a while ago about Havner, and I hope I don't fulfill it tonight. He said he had a deacon named Pierce in the church where he pastored. He had a big church. And he said, I've never heard a bad sermon. This deacon did, but he said, I've had some close calls. And I hope I don't do that tonight. But this church had an idea. Somebody else gave it to them. You know, you usually get some of this goofy stuff from somebody else. And they're serious about it, but they're not right. You know, you can be ever so serious about a thing and not be right. That if you ever had the Holy Ghost, and ever backslid, you could never be saved again. Never. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. And I lifted some eyebrows one Sunday morning, and I told him, I said, you don't believe it either. I said, you don't believe it because you asked prayer for your children that used to have the Holy Ghost. I said, you don't believe it. They didn't like it. I don't mean this in a sarcastic, cavalier way, but I don't care if they don't. I'm still going to tell them. Amen. So I told them. And I didn't tell them off, but I told them. I don't like to tell people off. I don't know them good. But I told them. But you can get, and it just almost, it really, if there ever was a church, and I love the people, it's a good people there. But if there ever was a church that you couldn't get people saved in, it was there. I mean, and they had another belief, and they didn't have to teach it. They just testified to it. That it took them I don't know how long to get saved. And you could have a revival, Brother Oscar, and you could get them to come to altar and just cry and cry and beg God to save them, and they'd wear you out. You wasn't near done when you got them in the altar. No. You could seek God till you nearly could fall over and pray for something to preach and get them in the altar, and you wasn't near finished. Matter of fact, you wouldn't get nowhere, most of them. And they'd pray and pray and pray and beg for no telling how long. And then you'd say, "Do you feel like you're saved?" And they'd say, "I feel better." And I guess some of them is going to hell now, feeling better. I'm not. I'm serious. I'm not making this up. I was there. Now I said that to say this, and I don't want to get on some tangent here. But beliefs in different areas might vary a little, but people have formed a mental category and a classification to where some people can be saved and others cannot. Now, they may not teach that, but their action, it ain't no use to even pray for them. Not a bit of use to even pray for them. One woman even told my wife one time, said, "It's no use to even try to get people like that saved. Can't be saved no way. That's not right. Jesus came to save that which was lost." I mean, you know, there's some things that repulse you. They repulse you. I don't know how many people this can seat. Probably 300 people could be seated in these pews. It looked like there's 20 or 25 pews on each side. I haven't counted them. It might be 30. Probably is. So that'd be a lot of people. And they're long enough, you could probably see 20 people on every pew. Probably could. See, there's four there, and they're not even jammed together. So you might could put 15 on each pew. And that'd be a lot of people. But let's say we had a huge crowd here. Everybody, people standing up, having a hard time keeping it cool. And somebody came in back there that was hadn't had a bath in 6 months. And there are people like that. I used to have a guy write to me that I think he just took a bath 2 or 3 times a year. Really? He's dead now. I don't know if that's what killed him or not, but he's dead. And he wrote me stuff. He'd get sheets of paper out of the trash, and on the back side of them, he'd write me a letter. And letters about that high. You'd have trouble reading them. I mean, you talk about whoppers. A whopper, no tell how many sheets would be in a big envelope. And somebody come in back there that you could smell them 10 feet away from me. And it's natural, I know, for that to be repulsive to you. There's a woman in California who's the world's greatest stinker. Ain't no doubt about it. From here to that thing there, if there's any breeze at all, you can't, man, you can't imagine. Woo! You talk about stinkle. Great Lord, you can't imagine. I wouldn't even go into detail. You don't need to. But what I'm trying to tell you, that would be repulsive to us. They can't be saved. We don't want nothing to do with them. But you know something? They can. It don't make no difference if you haven't had a bath in 5 years. It don't make no difference if your hair hadn't been cut in 20 years. A man, hair plumb down past his knees. Never been combed. Disheveled. Wow looking. No teeth. No nothing. Terrible odor. God could still save him. Let me, if you want to get a picture, I'm not going to overdo this. I hope not. Let me get a picture here. If you want to see a picture of what sin's like, don't vomit here. I want you to hear this in Isaiah. In the first chapter, he talks about his people who went away from him. And he says in the fourth verse, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They forsook the Lord and forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward. Why? God had whipped them and whipped them and whipped them. Why should you be stricken anymore?" Isaiah 1 and 5, ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. You know, you can get, and the whole heart is faint. You know, sin can get such a hold on people. My first wife's brother, whom we haven't heard from in no telling when, they don't even know if he's alive or dead. They hardly ever know. He has nothing to do at all. And he spent over half his life in the penitentiary. He hates it. But he said, I always go back. He said, told my wife that died, he said, Cal, you don't understand. I can work hard 2 weeks and barely make it. I can pull one job and get that much money. He said, you don't understand. Well, he told us about a black man in the penitentiary at McAllister. And people don't know what goes on in the penitentiary. No, no, they don't near know what all goes on. It ain't fit to tell. It's too repulsive to tell. And he said this guy was so mean that they put him in solitary, in the dungeon. And they told him and said, you're going to behave? No, I said, I'm not going to behave. You're going to obey? He said, no, I'm not going to obey. He said, you won't get nothing to eat. He didn't give him nothing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, on and on and on. So long. They asked you, are you going to be, no, I won't be obeyed. No, I won't. No. Snarl, mean man, wasted away. And the day he died from nothing to eat, he tried to slug a guard. You can get so mean, but you know, he could have got saved. I heard Jewel Gilstrap tell in Milledgeville, Georgia, where the execution took place, there's a little black woman in there. And I don't know if she killed her husband or who it was, but they put her on death row, and they did execute her. And somebody came into that penitentiary and went to death row. And if I remember right, they talked to her. And I know I'm right about this other. And she got saved and even got the Holy Ghost in that death row cell. And the day they came and got her to execute her, when they went in to get her, she was speaking in a foreign language. Yeah, my God, I'm telling you now. And they led her out, and all the way to the chair, she spoke in tongues. They said it made such an impression on the warden, he went insane, I think, and died from that. And they put her, strapped her down, and she spoke in tongues. Just as much as you could do it, just like a song, on and on and on and on. And until they shot the power to her, she was speaking in tongues. Don't tell me people can't get saved. I don't care what they've done. God will save them. It's not the will of God. It ain't never been the will of God for anybody to perish. The Bible said so. It's not His will that everybody is lost, but it's His will that everybody be saved. Sometimes people say, there's not any hope for so-and-so. I understand what they mean, but it's not always right. Matter of fact, you know today what the Salvation Army is. They run thrift shops and feed the hungry, and that's all okay. But the Salvation Army was not founded on thrift shops and soup lines, although they had it. That's not what it was founded on. William Booth got such a burden for the lost humanity. He said they need to be shown that somebody cares about them. I mean it, man, you can't imagine. If you young men don't have, and if Brother Collins has it, and you don't have it, you need to read a book by a man named Harold Begbie. He wrote about the Salvation Army, and the title of his book is Twice Born Men. It came out first under the title Broken Earthenware, and they later changed it to Twice Born Men, and he has another one, More Twice Born Men. And I'm telling you, Booth, now this is not in there, it's something else, but Booth said they need to see that somebody loves them. And in there he tells about one old woman I forget her name. Annie was her name, but I can't forget the rest of it. She was an alcoholic. And she got so bad. And one day, in her filth and debauchery and sin and terrible looking, one of those little Salvation Army lasses came to where she is at. Have you read that, Brother Asher? And told her, said, "I love you." And it threw her into shock. And she looked up and said, "What?" She said, "I love you." "Oh," she said, "ain't nobody has told me that since I was a little girl. My God, I'm telling you, it done something to her." You know, the holiness, folks, is so wrapped up in cleanliness, and I don't blame them. I like it. I like it. I like to be clean. I like clean food. My God, we've got the greatest we've ever had in our whole life. And I like decent clothes and things like that. But we've got so snug and satisfied and insulated by cleanliness all the time that we don't realize that there are filthy people. And this woman said, "Nobody has told me they love me since I was a little bitty girl." And that Salvation Army lass said, "But I do. My God," and she said, "You mean you love me?" "Yes, I love you." She said, "Would you kiss me?" And she said, "Why, yes, I'd kiss you." And she said, "Would you kiss me?" Now, please don't think this is gross. She said, "Would you kiss me on the lips, which is earth's most noble symbol of affection?" She didn't say that, but I am. She said, "I'd do it." She said, "We?" She said, "Yeah." And she kissed her, and this literally melted her down. I mean, tell you, it got to her soul that anybody would love her that much. I was reading someplace, don't even know where I read it, months and months, maybe years ago, about this beautiful Christian. Stunningly beautiful Christian lady. Long hair, decent clothes, a sweet voice, everything. And the holiest women are the prettiest women in the world, actually. And I don't mean, that's not lustful to say that. I'm not going to have no affair with you. You wouldn't have a chance. I'm all took up. But what I'm trying to tell you is, bless God, this girl went in this prison or this jail where this drunk woman was and was in the floor. And this beautiful, stunningly beautiful Christian lady came up to her and reached right down and said, "I love you," and kissed her, and she jumped straight up. She was on the floor, and she jumped straight up and said, "You mean to tell me that you love me?" And I'm not recommending you go around kissing everybody now. I'm trying to tell you something. And she stood straight up and said, "Do you mean you, a Christian lady, came to me in the shape I'm in, a debauched, drunken sot, and you love me enough to tell me you love me and kiss me? I'm going to believe on Jesus right now. Bless God," and got saved right there. I'm telling you, Jesus came. Don't forget, he's a dealing brother, LL, with a thief when he said, "I'm going home with Zacchaeus." That rascal had stole, don't tell him how much money from people, and cheated people out of money. He said, "I'll pay it back fourfold." And Jesus said, "Today salvation is come to your house." My God, I'm here to tell you, Jesus wants people to get saved. He died they could get saved. He came for them to get saved. He gave his life that they got saved. He was an example so they'd get saved. He founded the early church, and Booth said, "We need to show them that we care about them and that we love them. And what we want is the very people from the very sewers of society." And buddy, they got it done too. Even at the funeral booth, sat an ex-whore right by the Queen of England, an ex-prostitute, and leaned over and said to the Queen of England, "He cared for the likes of us." You ain't talking to me. They got a guy saved years and years and years ago in some of the books you may read this sometime. I think R.G. Lee mentions it. And they got a guy saved who was such a savage, he killed his own wife and butchered her and cooked and ate his own wife. He was a savage heathen. You say, my God, cocks don't get so plain. Well, I wouldn't. I'm not too plain. That ain't nothing to what you see on a newsstand. And that guy got saved. We've had missionaries go to the New Hebrides Islands and foreign islands. And you remember, I think their name was Williams. When they landed, they offered his wife a slab of a piece of the chest of a man they had cooked and offered him like you'd offer somebody a piece of chicken. Let me tell you something. Now, what's that got to do with us? I'll tell you what that's got to do with us. We need to quit this nonsense of saying that so-and-so will never be saved, can't be saved. And there are people that people don't even want them to get saved. You know, you can get saved. I got saved. I got saved September the 9th of 1949. I think it's 21 days after 21 I got saved. And you know what? I got so saved that I'm still saved. Now, you got to admit that's a pretty good feat. You say, well, I don't know. No, it don't make me anything. But that makes me something when it's all said and done. You say, you don't amount to nothing. You don't have to remind me of that. I'm more aware of that than you are. But the thing about it is, bless God, I'm as good as you are. I may not be much, but we ain't much, none of us. But it's an important thing. Let me tell you something. I know other people are going to heaven, but if they don't, I want to. Do you hear me? I said, bless God, if nobody goes, I want to go. I know that other people are going, but the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all sin. Do you hear me? I said, He has cleansed me from all sin. I got so saved that I'm still saved. Hallelujah! And no telling how many million, perhaps even billions of people. I read, you might have heard me mention this one time. I mentioned this one thing pretty often. I have an old book. I haven't seen it for a long time. Don't know where it's at. Somebody might have borrowed it. I don't know. But man, it's a masterpiece of literature. And it's written in 1865. And they estimated in 1865 that there had been 720 billion people in the world since Adam and Eve. Mere an estimation. They based it on different things, I guess. And I figured, well, if that was in 1865, this is way over 100 years. That was 100 years in 1965. And this is 1997. Now listen, there have been, I'd say there has been 800 billion people in the world, and that would probably be a little short of it, but if there was 720 billion, and there's a way over 5 billion people, maybe even 6 billion people, in the world now. If 10%, which is 10 people out of 100, went to heaven, there would be, and I'm not saying they did, but if they did, that's 80 billion people in heaven right now. And that's a little stout for you. You know, you don't think with 15 preachers in the world preaching holiness, no way. If that's a little stout, let's just say 1%. That would be 8 billion people in heaven now. And they all got saved. Every last one of them got saved through the blood of Jesus Christ because He died and came to seek, bless God, and save that which was lost. And I was lost. Now this is an unending thing. But isn't it a marvel? I mean, I like to let my imagination, and I'm going to taper down here. I like to let my imagination sometimes just run clear off. And man, don't you know. Don't you know. Brother Collins is talking about how poor he was raised, and many of us the same way. And we were so poor that the poor people thought we was poor. I know it. I know it. Unbelievable. I know one time in the class, they was asking some people just up the road from us, and I thought this poor. And what they're doing is checking on the kids, see how many clothes they had. And they said, how many dresses? And I remember Irene Johnson, and I think Betty Johnson, and Pauline, whoever one of their name was, been so far back. And this young boy, probably fifth grade. And the teacher said, Irene, how many dresses have you got? She said, I got 10. I don't know if she's lying or not. And I thought, man alive, that girl's got 10 dresses. 10 dresses. One of the queens had 10,000. 10,000. Don't tell how many thousand dresses Di's got. You know what I mean. Di, you know, Charles, his ex-wife, Charles. Charles and Di. Lovely couple, crazy about each other, lying fool. I'm trying to tell you something now. And to think, raised so poor, couldn't even buy a 5-cent soda drink. They call it pop, they call it cold drinks in South. You know, in the South, they talk different. They're not so much good no more, but they did. I remember down there, Ben Shaw was talking about taking a shower. Shower, you know what a shower is? In Virginia, that's a shower. In Oklahoma, that's a shower. That means that's what you do. You let water run on you, know, and take soap and rag. And you know. Do you know? You know, don't you, ready? Yeah, okay. I figured you did. Anyway, just think now. Just think. Poor people. Poor people. So poor. Couldn't buy a soft drink. Ice cream cone was out of this world. Can't imagine what it's like. Oh, you can't imagine what it's like. And think. Someday, R.C., Ralph Cox. It's all name of God. No middle initials. Don't need it. My dad named me. He didn't talk much. Said, Ralph's enough. Someday, by the grace of God, Ralph Cox will walk right into heaven. And look around. You talk about who was that said, was that you, Brian? Said, stand in awe. Psalm says that 3 or 4 times. Stand in awe. A-W-E. Used to the word awful. It was spelled A-W-E-F-U-L-L. Awful or full of awe. Man, and when I get to heaven, man, as an old Kentucky woman said, Lord, if you'll save me, you'll never hear the last of it. And I'll tell you one thing, Oscar Oakley, if I ever get to heaven, they ain't never going to hear the last of it, buddy. Man, I'm going to look around. Lord God, if I can, that little boy raised in the sand hill and the dust is blowing. Lord God, like to starve to death, thin and frail and sickly, and to think, man, I'm in heaven. Man, if I can, if God let me, I'll jump 1,000 feet high. I'll kangaroo hop all over the city. I mean, I'll tell you, they don't tell what I'll do. And to think that L.L. Collins and Ralph Cox went to heaven, my God, man, you think that ain't going to be something? Woo! You ain't seen nothing yet. And that's why I say, all of this, the cleanest clothes, Doreen keeps me in good shape. The other wife did too. Amen. And she's a good cook. We got good food. We've got good clothes. Amen. We got a good van. And go into the house and eat with people. Man alive. Just think. L.L. Collins married Sister Collins. What her maiden name was, I don't know. He'll just tell me I forget it. Amen. But Faye Collins, one of the greatest women ever walked the face of God's earth. Amen. And think, L.L. Collins married Sister Faye. Have you ever got by yourself, L.L., and said, how in the world did I ever pull this off? Amen. Yeah. And not only the best food in the world and the best wife in the world, but my God, man, heaven at the end of it. Wow. What a deal. Kings and queens and rulers and monarchs and the highest office in the world. Hallelujah. don't have what we've got. Bless God, I'm here to tell you. And all because, hallelujah, we got saved. You've got to get saved to do it. You've got to stay saved to do it. Hallelujah. And I got saved, and I'm still saved, and someday I'll forever be saved. All of this in heaven too. Thank God, men, what a deal. Hallelujah. It'd be like a guy having a good job. You know, you people, a lot of you, I don't know if the ones here does, but they work in these auto factories and get $10-$20 an hour, probably close to that. I don't know what you get, $14-$15, whatever. If anybody gets a raise, you will. All of that, nice house, air-conditioned church, good pastor, good preaching, amen, good wife, sweet children, wonderful grandchildren. Where's Brother Parker? Where'd Parker go? Amen. Just think. Just think now. What a deal. You hear me? What a deal. Here. I mean, I'm saved here. I don't know about your personal life. I mean, I'm not very little now. I know about your personal life and don't even know the names of most of you. If you had to say, go down, I don't know. I couldn't call your name. Don't know it. Never will know it. Ain't no use telling me. I'll forget it. I can't do it. I just can't remember. Somebody's talking about your wife today. Did we unplug the iron? Did we turn the iron off? Well, probably did. Yeah. And she can't remember, and I can't remember. The way I do some things, I've got the key to the van, and I'm going to lay it right there. I ain't going to forget that Bible. I guarantee you, I will not forget that Bible. And one lady said, I started to go to the young woman said, I just get vexed at myself. I started to go to the cabinet to get something, and went to the cabinet and forgot what I went after. I said, just be glad you can find the cabinet. I'm telling you now. Amen. We just forget. Hallelujah, but let's don't neglect and forget. Let's stand before I preach some more. Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you now, but all of this and heaven at the end of it. It won't be but a few years to LL and RC will be in heaven. Just a few years. We've been going down the west side of the hill for a long time now. I'll be 69 this coming August 19th. We're going out of here. Now let me tell you, if you're back there and you don't have this, it would be humanly impossible to convey in terms that we use what a mistake you're making. It cannot be grasped. It can't be explained. It's just too much. I told one guy one time, he said, you know, I'm trying to estimate what it's going to cost me to get saved. And there's a smart man there. He said, have you ever thought about what it's going to cost you if you don't? You're not even using your head. Your thinking is chopped off. You don't have it. You don't have the dial of your mind turned up. You're not thinking right. You don't know what you're doing if you're not saved. So tonight, why don't you think about it and say, hey, this has went on long enough. There ain't no sense in this. Here I am, neglecting this. As a guy told Brother Yates, he said, you know, Brother Yates, I put this off and put this off. And he finally took cancer, I think, and was about to die. And he got saved. And Brother Yates went to talk to him. He said, you know, Brother Yates, I put that off till it was terrible dangerous. Mountain people. Said it was about like peddling lamp globes. He's called it lamp chimneys on roller skates. That's a wild term, ain't it, Brother L.L.? Peddling, selling lamp chimneys. You know, lamp globes like we used to have, we raised with. On roller skates. Skating around trying to sell them. It's worse than that. It's worse than that. Are you going to skate your way into hell? You know how you can't mark one day. I dare you to get a calendar and look at it and say, I know I'll be alive this time, and make a date on that thing. You can't do it. You cannot do it. And you neglect anything as simple and easily obtained as salvation, you are a fool. You are a superb fool. And you'll call yourself an idiot when you get to hell. I have been a fool. My God. You know, we have to use terms here as kind as we can, seem like. But I'll tell you one thing. When you gnaw your tongue for 1,000 years, scream in pain for 1,000 years, you'll think, if I go to hell, I won't be lonesome. Yes, you will be lonesome too. They won't nobody fellowship you. Everybody be so busy being mad and burning and hurting and remembering and regretting. And the most worst remorse ever was in this world or the world to come. They won't nobody have nothing good to say. Are you back there? Are you back there? Okay. Saints. I can't tell. It looks like it's, I don't know. An hour later here, it's about 9:20. About 9:20. That's not late. Not really. Saints, come pray some. Please, come and pray some. Shouldn't have to beg you. Say, Lord, please don't ever let me lose this. Help me to guard this with my whole life. I've got to remain a child of God. I've got to stay out of this wicked world. I've got to. Ain't no doubt about it. I've got to do it. And by the grace of God, I'm going to do it. By the grace of God, I'm going to do it. Can you imagine anything as tragic as somebody going to hell from the highway of holiness? Can you imagine anything that terrible? Can you imagine anything that terrible? I went to the highway of holiness. They had my funeral at the highway of holiness. My dad and mama went to the highway of holiness. I attended the highway of holiness Sunday school as a child. And now I'm in hell. My God, you talk about the height of stupidity and the height of insanity. Nothing could be any farther from common sense. Pray, ladies. Pray, brethren. Seek God. Talk to Him. Lord, keep me pure. Brother Collins, sing, folks, please.